Today's reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 to 10, and it's found on page 925 of the Pew Bibles. Christ's sacrifice once for all. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshippers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year, for it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is why, when Christ came into the world, he said to God, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Then I said, 'Look, I have come to do your will, O God, as is written about me in the scriptures.'" First, Christ said, "You didn't want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they were required by the law of Moses." Then he said, "Look, I have come to do your will." He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time.
This, St. Andrews, is God's word. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, as we come to this part of the service, we do pray your blessing on the Shaw family and, Lord, upon Sophie. We pray that, Lord, that your hand would be upon her, Lord, right now. And we pray for us as we come to look at your word. We recognize there's a number of factors at play. There's the skill set or lack of the person that brings the word. There's our hearts as we listen to that. And above all, there is your spirit that moves and quickens the scripture to our hearts. Lord, we invite you into our hearts. We invite you to quicken this word. We invite you to encourage, rebuke, exhort. Lord, we are not here for a TED talk. We're here to encounter the living God through your word. And so we humble our hearts and we pray that, Lord, that in this time, in this space, on Resurrection Sunday 2022, you would speak. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you guys know this, and welcome, firstly, welcome to those who are listening online as well. And I know there's a number of visitors here. We've got some from Temuka who've made a wonderful contribution to the service today, and others also from around the place. It's fantastic you are here, and a very warm welcome to those listening online. All throughout the Old Testament is this thread of sacrifices, often, well, nearly always, though not always, but nearly always, animal sacrifices, the whole way through the whole Testament. This morning, we're going to look at how this pointed to Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. We're going to look at redemption, atonement, freedom of guilt, and condemnation that we have in him through his work on the cross. That's where we're going this morning for the next 10 or 15 minutes or so. Back in 2007, I know Will Smith's all been in the news recently for the stuff that went on in a certain show there in the States, but back in 2007, he was the actor for a movie called 7 Pounds. Has anyone watched it? Well, I'm giving some... that's sad, because I'm going to give you some serious spoiler warnings here. In that movie, 7 Pounds, he was playing a character called Tim Thomas. And Tim was carelessly texting while driving along the road. And as he was texting while he was driving, his car moved across the median strip and hit an oncoming car, killing 6 people in the other vehicle and killing his fiancée. He was working for NASA at the time. But he himself survived without a scratch, pretty much. But his fiancée and all the others perished, 7 people. He was gripped with guilt, really overcome with it. And the movie is all about this journey where on his own terms and in his own way, he was wanting redemption. He was wanting atonement. He was wanting to make up for the 7 lives that he had taken. And he was wanting to do so by saving 7 people, even at the cost of everything he had. Redemption, guilt, remorse, forgiveness, these are powerful forces that are at work in human psychology. They really are. And a lot of times we don't think they are, but even in our own lives, they have subtle ways of working in ways that perhaps we're not always aware of. And certainly around the world, these are very universal factors. Thinking of, say, Buddhism, I don't claim to be an expert on Buddhism. I have read some of the writings of Buddha and so forth. But one of the things that, if you've been to some of the Buddhist countries, you would have seen some. Who's seen those? They are quite beautiful. I'm not criticizing their aesthetics look. So who's seen the beautiful prayer cylinders or prayer wheels in Buddhist countries? Anyone seen them? They look quite lovely. And if they go around, and I believe in a clockwise fashion, they can have a meritorious impact of removing sin. Or perhaps if you don't like Buddhism, Hinduism. The stars are aligned at a certain time if you dip into the Ganges River. And remember, hundreds of millions of people do this. Even if it's freezing, it will cleanse your sin. Deals with things. Now, some of you will think, well, that's just ridiculous. Us Westerners, we wouldn't be into that. But you should need to know, hundreds of thousands of young Westerners travel overseas often in search of a spiritual experience. I was talking to someone who had actually had a baptism in the Spirit, had encountered Christ, then had walked away from it and was going around to all these different faiths and religions doing all these things on the search. He eventually came back in his late 50s back to Christ after about 30 years away. But this guy was an intelligent guy with postgraduate degrees. And even if that doesn't, so you maybe you're a hardened, cynical agnostic. There's nevertheless a stories of redemption, atonement are embedded in humanity. There's things within, often inside us, and often, maybe not everyone, some people think they're pretty good and they don't have any moments of guilt or shame, but there are certainly many people who struggle with guilt or shame or remorse. Have you ever had that 3 o'clock in the morning wake-up call where you're going over actions, words, or things that you have done that have brought profound emotional pain to yourself, and you're wracked with it, and the failures seem to haunt you? I've had that. The famous, or infamous, some people think he's infamous, others famous, but he's certainly well-known, a Canadian psychologist, Jordan Peterson, yes, one or two. This is what he says. And now he's not yet a Christian. He's been writing, doing all the stuff on the Bible and Jesus. I think he's on a real spiritual search, and he may become one. But at the moment of me saying this, I'm not sure he's quite there yet. But he did say this recently. This is what he says. There's something, he said, about the very nature of human beings that makes us feel as if something needs to be set right. That's what he says, all right? When that has been discussed historically, it's been associated with the term of redemption. Humanity is in need of redemption. In the modern age, with my psychology degree and positive psychology that I've learned, we talk about happiness. And he says, I think this is a much weaker word. Our forefathers had a more profound sense of the problematic nature, state of the human existence, and they used more profound words. The idea that we have a need, humanity has a need for redemption, is a more profound idea. don't know what you make of that for Jordan Peterson, but there are hundreds of millions of people who listen to what he's saying. And he's certainly, in a way, he's pointing out some universal human impulses, which often actually lines up with what the scriptures happen to say. The truth of the gospel, I'm sure that many of you know this, but it is worth refreshing ourselves and hearing it again and not just going, I know this. Do you really know it? Is it just superficial knowledge? Has it gripped your heart? The truth of the gospel is that we are indeed broken. You and myself, we are broken. We are in need of a saviour. Yes, we're created good and special by a loving creator, but through rebellion and sin, we have become broken. But unfortunately, and I'm not criticising the Buddhists especially here, this is a universal human impulse that we have in a search for redemption. But the Buddhist prayer wheels, or the Ganges River, or the movie 7 Pounds on a Search for Redemption, or the various other million ways in which humans are trying to undo that which they have done or to make things right, doesn't work. In the Old Testament, there is this amazing thread that goes the whole way through, and it's picking up this theme of redemption. And it's often in terms of the sacrificial system. Sometimes it's hinted at. Sometimes you could argue, is it this or is it that? And other times it's very explicit. So Adam and Eve, after they were covered with animal skins, perhaps before telling the sacrifice. Later was Abel. His sacrifice was an animal. And then later Noah's sacrifice. He sacrificed these clean animals after the flood. And then Abraham, he was told, don't kill your son, for God will provide a sacrifice. And there was a male sheep, a ram. And the term God will provide was hinting later. And then after that, there was the Passover lamb. And if you look at all the things of the Passover lamb was to be without blemish. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt. But when the Passover lamb, no bones were to be broken, and the blood was placed on the door, and it was to be eaten with unleavened bread, all this was going to paint the way for their deliverance. In 1 Corinthians 5, it says, cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Jesus the Messiah, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven of malice and evil, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, after the Passover lamb, there was the whole Mosaic law. Have you read it and enjoyed Leviticus and Deuteronomy? And all the ins and outs of the sacrificial law system. I try to read the Bible once in a year, and I have to say, even now, after all this time already, it's still slow going on some of the intricacies of that. This repetition of these sacrifices showed that they would not perfect sinners. John Piper notes that actually that the very fact that they were repeated again and again is an inbuilt testimony, all these Old Testament sacrifices, that they wouldn't remove the guilt, they wouldn't finally deal with all the sin. They were pointing to Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:26 says, but Jesus Christ has appeared once and for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with the sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed only once to take away the sins of many. I hasten to add, it wasn't child sacrifice. God wasn't just sending his son. Jesus in himself chose to go to the cross and pay that price. So why did Jesus do this? Why is Jesus dying on the cross different than a person dipping themselves into the Ganges River? Why is it different than the prayer wheels? Why is it different than the 7 pounds of this people and all these different ways of people searching for atonement? It's this universal desire. What makes the cross different? It's 20 sermons in of itself, but may I just suggest in a 1 or 2 minute nutshell that God is both loving and just. He is both holy and merciful. And on that cross, he where the justice and love and mercy all came together. And this analogy I'm going to give is a very imperfect analogy. All analogies are imperfect, but perhaps it will give a hint of what it came. Catherine and I, many years ago, we did this thing called Evangelism Explosion. It was a little bit systematic, I have to say, looking back in hindsight, but it had some really good things with it. And when I came, I heard there was a story of Shamil. And the story of Shamil really did reach my heart, and I believe it was a real story. And it was of a Russian revolutionary way back in 1902, before 1917 in Russia, before the revolution. And at the time, Russia's Tsarist system was under a lot of strain. And Shamil had this gathering of revolutionaries and their families, and they were hiding from the Cossacks and from the Russian government, the Russian imperial government. And it was wintertime in Russia, and they had enough food supplies to last until spring if they were careful on the use of it. And Shamil's lieutenant then came to him and said, "I've got some bad news. Someone has been stealing supplies from the supply tent. If it continues, we will run out and we will all suffer." So Shamil got everyone and said, "The next person who takes the food supplies from the food tent without permission will be taken against one of the ubiquitous trees that surrounded the area they were in and be whipped against it." Well, about a little time later, days, weeks, or months, I don't know, but sometime later, Shamil's lieutenant came to him and said, "I've got good news and bad news. The good news is we have found the person caught red-handed stealing the supplies from the supply tent. The bad news is it's your mum." And at that point, the day came when his mum was taken out, and according to the story, she was stripped half-naked and laid against the cross to be whipped, and the lieutenant was the one to do it. And everyone looked at Shamil, whether or not he would follow through. Now, if he was not just, if he decided to have second two standards and not show justice, he would lose mana. But he loved his mum, and if the punishment went on, his mum would die. And at the time, according to the story, when the whip was to be laid against his mum, he said, "Stop!" And everyone looked at him, and the feeling that went through the camp is, yeah, two standards, one for his mum and one for us. But he didn't say a word. He stripped himself off and covered his mum and said, "Let the punishment proceed." It's an imperfect analogy where justice and love came together, but it points to something, an element of what happened on the cross. The sacrifice of goats and lambs and calves could not really cleanse us from sin. They were a pointer to what God would do for himself, in himself, for us. And the fact the law requires nearly everything to be cleansed with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Hebrews 9:22. Jesus needed to go to that cross. And it speaks of the depth of our sin. And it speaks of the depth of God's love and grace and mercy. You may not be in slavery in Egypt, but for those who ponder their past, there are often things we've done that we deeply regret. What Jesus offers you this morning is forgiveness and freedom in him. Do you know this, Jesus? Let me read the text again. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again and again, year after year. They were never able to provide a perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided a perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshippers would have been purified once and for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, these sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year, for it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. A little later, for by that one offering on the cross, he, Jesus, forever made perfect those who have been made holy. Have you received this sacrifice? Do you know this, Lord? Do you have a sense of condemnation? Come to the Lord Jesus. He is ready to forgive. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your word. And we pray that, Lord, that this Resurrection Sunday, we will remember that you paid the ultimate price, rose from the dead, and that we can walk with you in freedom. We thank you for this grace and this mercy and this love that you freely offer. In Jesus' name, amen.